Hear me? Right, okay. So I was meant to go through this talk earlier today, but I got so distracted by everything that is happening around, and I didn't. So we're just gonna roll with it. Thank you for coming today. I'm gonna give you a more of a how we made the quilt kind of talk today. If you want to interact with the quilt, I will be in the lounge later today and tomorrow. And if there is enough demand, I might do another session on Sunday. Right. So a little bit about how we started with the project. So it was in 2015, and I was doing my PhD in Liverpool, and part of my PhD was around emotional experiences and how mums feel when they are making feeding decisions about how to feed their babies. And there was a lot around mum's guilt that I was learning at the point. And I do not remember exactly how the word guilt turned into quilt. It was probably mistyped something or misread something. But as a person who loves to craft, I was thinking, oh, I feel I'm onto something there. I really don't know what. And I really need to finish my PhD because I'm in my final year and I do not have the brain capacity to do anything with this idea. So I kept it in the back of my mind. And later on, I moved to Swansea, where in 2019, I met Angelica. And Angelica came to Swansea Hackspace in our Stitch Club. And she is a HEI researcher, and she works with marginalized communities, working with an intersection of digital technologies and e-textiles. And she has worked on a project involving a digitally augmented quilt before. We became friends. And at the end of the year, she returned to Newcastle to take up a post as a lecturer in the design school. And crafting kind of became part of her job, and I was really jealous. So at some point, especially during the pandemic, when we were holding an online tea break kind of thing, we thought we should totally think of a project to work together, because we really like hanging out together and our interests are kind of complementary. But we couldn't find a project that we could work together. And then later on in 2001, I met Gillian, and I met her through a researchers developing program in Wales called Wells Crucible. And usually it's residential, but that year it was online because it was the pandemic and it was not safe to meet. And she is a lecturer and a researcher in Aberystwyth in international politics. She works with refugees, works with memory, labeling, and she has done a quilt project before. And at the time we met, she was on maternity leave, so we got to talk about her experiences as well. So through all of this, we thought we should totally think of a project to work together. And then Welsh Crucible very kindly gave us a little bit of money to develop this idea a bit further. So in spring 2022, we started this project, and we asked for contributions, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. And then in the summer of 2023, we started to do the software and the hardware development. We didn't do that by ourselves. Mr. Tim Clark there really helped. And then in September 2023, we met up in person for the first time, which was really exciting. In November, we met again for a weekend and to assemble the quilt top. And in January, we held some stitching workshops with mums. I'm gonna talk about all of those in a bit. And then 2 days ago, I finished the quilt because I had to bring it to UMF and I had to finish it. Right. So what we asked, we put a call for contributions out, and we asked mothers who lived in Wales to send us one outgrown baby grow to make the quilt top. And we also asked a 1 minute voice clip to answer the question, what was the most significant emotional experiences connecting to feeding your baby? And we left that up to interpretation, up to them to tell us the story. What we also got were some lovely notes and pictures. We got this particularly really nice letter that a mum sent us a baby grow and apologised that it was stained with a poo stain. And that became, it was clean, but there was a poo stain. And that became kind of an inside joke within the team about poos and poo stains on baby grows and about messiness in general with a life with a newborn. And then, as I said, Mr. Clark there helped us with the software and hardware development. This is a shopping list of what all of the stuff we needed to get to make the quilt happen. So we used an Arduino Uno and all this kind of electronics. We also wanted, we found out we need thin wire to help with kind of, there were fewer chances to force activate. We also needed quilting material to help with that, with the quilt. So if you need any more details, please do let me know. And then Tim very kindly wrote the software for that. So if you're really interested in figuring out how the code works, this is a QR code for the GitHub where all the code is out there. And we made the touch points. In EMF 2022, I attended a workshop here that Dr. Becky Stewart did, and I kind of stole the idea. So we put together, we used the snaps off the baby grows as a touch point for the quilt. So in autumn 2023, we started putting everything together. So here is a sketch of the idea that Angelica put together at the beginning. And this was kind of, you know, the prototype, the sketch. So in September 2023, we met all together in person for the first time. And that was while Gillian was actually on holidays in West Wales. But that was the only time Angelica could come from Newcastle, so we rolled with it. And we spent a few lovely hours splitting the front and the back off the baby grows to have more material to work with, and we laid it in approximately a 1x1 square to make the quilt top. And then we mapped out where we thought the touch points will be. You can see that on the post-its we put. We didn't end up doing that because Tim later told us they should have the sorted distance possible, and he advised on a signal booster. Yes, he nods. And put it in the center and put them all around. So that's how we did it at the end. And then in November, we spent a weekend in Aberystwyth sewing it. We broke a few sewing machine needles in the process because there was a lot of thick material and some stray snaps that broke our needles. We thread the wires through. We put all the layers together and we thread the wires through all of the three layers of the quilt. We put them together and here is the final quilt. Not the final quilt, because this one is not actually quilted. It's held together by spray-on adhesive and safety pins at this stage. But we were very proud, and it was so good to have something to hold on to, that we have designed it and we have thought about it for so long. So we wanted to make this a co-created project. So what we did is invited moms in Swansea and Aberystwyth to come and stitch the spirals that quilted all the layers together. And during the workshops, we played some audio clips that we have collected, and we use them as a starting point for conversations, and we ask them to share their experiences, share if they feel something similar to what the story was or something different. And during the workshops, something amazing happened. We had some mums that they were quite shy, they were not quite sure about crafting and about how to stitch. Some of them, they didn't have any experience with stitching before. But the minute they touched the quilt and they touched that thread and that needle and they started working, then the stories just started coming up. It was almost like that gave them the freedom to share what they have experienced and create this bond with the other mums who were doing the same thing. And they shared a lot of experiences. We kept as much notes as we could. So we have an amazing, amazing data set on that. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the multiple meanings that we have embedded on the quilt. So the spirals, we chose them for many different reasons. First, it's an easy pattern for beginners. It's easy to stitch a spiral. We mapped out the spirals, so it was very easy to just follow a line. And if you come and see the quilt, you will see it's not particularly neat, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But we wanted to base that on Welsh quilting tradition. It was very important for us that this was a Welsh project. The mums that their stories were embedded were Welsh. We were funded by Welsh Crucible, so we wanted to make that quite as Welsh as we could. And we found through research that spirals are a common pattern in Welsh quilting tradition. And then, as a meta kind of meaning, we thought a lot about the spiral of emotions, and because we were working on emotional experiences, we kind of like that that metaphor of the spiral of emotions being on the quilt as well. And quilting itself is a very feminist kind of symbol, right? So the feminist history recognized the quilt as a very important symbol of women. And it represents connections and family and stability and expression and everything that we wanted this project to have. And quilting bees, traditionally, they were places where women would meet together and they would share experiences and they will talk about their emotions and create this community and this bonding. So we wanted, with our stitching workshops in Swansea and Aberystwyth, to recreate that. And a lot of mums really asked us if we're going to do that again. And we sadly had to tell them, well, probably not, because we can only make one quilt. And we chose not to have a neat and tidy quilt. We decided to keep the baby grows intact. First, because we thought about cutting squares out of the baby grows, but then something felt wrong about this. So we decided to keep the baby grows intact so that you can see it is a baby grow. But we thought it was a nice representation of the life with a newborn, that messy, messy life. So a few things that we learned along the way. Working across the disciplines is scary and unfamiliar. I work in public health, my background is in nutrition. As I said, Angelica is an HEI researcher in design school. Gillian is in politics. So we have very, very different ways of working and doing research in our usual disciplines, but working together at the beginning, it was very unfamiliar. It felt very unfamiliar to me, and I kept saying I always knew about one third of what is going on in the project at any given time, which it was fine. It turned out fine at the end. But trusting the process was very important, and that was a big lesson for me, to let all my expectations around research go and trust what we're doing and trust the people that I am working with. That was a great lesson, because I kind of like to control the way I work, and that was very, very different. And it's okay to let a project lead you. That's where creativity is. Again, I am very used to, as a person, to lead the project. I decide to make a project, I follow the instructions, I follow a pattern, and I create whatever project that is. And this one was very different. That definitely had a mind on its own. And it really unlocked a lot of creativity in me, which I did not expect. So from where, how the baby grows will lay, where the touch points will be, what everything will look like, I could not control that. The project kind of took the lead and kind of created itself. So crafting also can act as a catalyst when we're discussing sensitive or difficult topics. So that was a big lesson from the workshop, from the stitching workshops with the mums. Something about having something to do while you're talking, not having to look the people that you're talking about in the eye, and even the silence being justified, because we're working on something anyway, so you might be focusing on the next stitch. So nobody really expects you to hold a conversation at all times, which I think it was very freeing for mums, so that they could share their experiences. One other lesson that we learned along the way from everything is that there is no one right answer, and there are no wrong answers either. And that is a lovely metaphor for life as well, but especially when it comes to infant feeding. It's very much what families need at any given point. And there is, although the public health discourse that I'm doing most of my research on tells you, you know, breast is best and all this kind of stuff, there is not one right answer, but there isn't a wrong answer either. Telling stories is very powerful. It can bring people together and create community and solidarity, and we saw that both with the stories that we have in the audio clips, but also in the stitching workshops, how the mothers bonded within those 2 hours that they spend together. But listening to them is even more so. So when you hear someone's story, that part of them stays forever with you. And we definitely have a lot of mums' words stayed with us, and I think they will stay with us for a very long time. So a little bit about what is next for our project. We hope to exhibit and interact with it as much as possible. So we have, as I said, interactive sessions in the lounge. You can come and give us feedback. There will be a survey. There will be a QR code. I know I love a QR code, scanning it and giving feedback. But we also wanted to use it to make changes in policy and practice as well. So we're using it to help maternity care professionals, especially midwives, to develop confidence in having those sensitive conversations with families around feeding babies and deciding what is the best way forward for them. We're also planning to have some collaboration with Public Health Wales. They're updating their 5-year breastfeeding action plan, and they have invited us with our quilts to help change policies with families in mind. And then I would hope to travel around the country, hold workshops, hold interactive sessions. So if you think you can host it, if you have you know, a gallery, a museum, anything that you would like to host one of those sessions, please get in touch. Thank you very much for listening.